Well, you're all very welcome. It's actually a privilege to be up here this morning. Wasn't last night good? It was very good. I tell you, I was moved just to sit under the Word of God. It was great, you know, and to be fed. And, you know, because some Sunday mornings you come in and you're rushing and you're busy, you know. But just to sit in last night and just to be soaked in that presence, it was great. And, excuse me. This morning, I'm actually going to talk about intimacy and the wonderful life that intimacy we can have with God. So if you want to turn to your Bible, I'm actually going to go back to the very, very beginning, and it's in Genesis. And I'm going to read from Genesis 2, verse 4. So while you are getting your Bible sorted and that, you know, in the beginning, God made the heavens, the earth, the skies, the sea. God created everything within 6 days. And within the sixth day, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So that was the sixth day, and that was God's plan. But what I want to do is I would just want to read from verse 4 and just give an account of Adam and Eve. "When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrubs of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And I'm just going to skip down to verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whenever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But then for Adam, there was no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She was taken out of me.'" Amen. As I said, the first two people to encounter intimacy with God were Adam and Eve. And Adam was the last of creation to be made. He was made on the sixth day. But he was also the crown jewel of God's plan. You know, and one of the things that God did with Adam, he gave him dominion over all the creatures of the seas in the air and on the earth. And what he was actually doing was God was empowering Adam to look after everything that he had made. You see, what God did was he gave Adam a position of his right-hand man, and if you want, you could call him like God's deputy. And Adam was there to exercise God's authority to rule on the earth for him. You know, and then later on, Adam was known to be the father of all mankind. You know, and we just serve a great God. You know, his wisdom is just so profound. He decided to create Adam differently from any of his other creations. And that, for me, is just mind blown. And you might ask the questions, why did he create man differently from his other creations? Excuse me. Well, God created Adam and Eve with a desire for a relationship and true intimacy with him. So what does that mean? But to simplify it, basically, they were created in God's image. He put into them some of his own life, his own characteristics, his own nature. And that was love. God put love in them. He put light in them. He put holiness in them. And he put righteousness in them. God created Adam according to his image so that Adam would express God through those same qualities. You see, Adam and Eve, they were set apart from the rest of his creation. They were set apart because they were to have a friendship with God, whereby they would grow in the knowledge of him. They walked in the footsteps in Eden with God. They had great time with God. They had closeness with God. They just breathed breath, and there was God beside them. You know, just to get a glimpse of it, of what they experienced, they soaked in the presence of him every day. They had God's radiance all around them. It was just magical, you know, and just to picture that, it's just heaven. They had the riches of God every day, his glorious riches every single day. And what God did was he gave them the ultimate gift a loving father could give to any of his children. And that was the opportunity to know him. That was the opportunity to know him as Adam and Eve encountered a deep relationship with God. You see, the truth be known, Adam and Eve, they were living carefree. They had a carefree life. You know, Adam named all the animals. He gave them names. They could eat anything in the garden. They soaked up all the radiance in the garden, its beauty, everything. They were walking in paradise. And wow, what a paradise they walked in. You know, when I fell in love with my husband, Stephen, you know, my heart leaped, you know, and when you fall in love, you get all these like little butterfly feelings in your stomach. And, you know, I would think about him all the time and I would just wait, you know, longing to see him, and I couldn't wait for the next day and everything. And, you know, once you get that feeling about someone, you fall in love with, you always have it. It never goes away. If it's true love, it never goes away. And that's the same with God. But it can be better with God. And when we put him as our first love, boy, it's amazing. So how do we get this? How do we get this love, and how do we attain it? Well, we go to God and we cling to him. And when I say cling, we cling to him like cling film. So we put ourselves around him. We wrap ourselves around him because that's what we were created for. That's why we were made, each one of us in this room today. We were made with the realization that we were created to honor this God. And also because he created us, because he wants the same. He wants to love us the very same. But just to understand intimacy, it doesn't involve one person. You cannot know someone you don't spend time with. You see, intimacy will only develop as a result of close contact with that person. And again, it's over a period of time. As I said earlier, when I fell in love with Stephen, you know, the feeling was great. It still is. But you know what? When it's with God, trust is built. We learn how to relate to God by meeting with him on a regular basis. You know, and when we meet with him, it's through prayer, it's through worship, and it's through meditating on his word. And I know with me, I can waffle the ears off people. I waffle the ears off God. But you know what? Your confidence grows and your heart is changed. This transformation becomes, it becomes like just having a physical shower every day. But what is really happening is you have a daily spiritual shower. And you become washed in true intimacy with God. Our eyes are fixed on his word. God cleanses our heart, guys. You see, Adam and Eve knew who they were in God. They discovered how to hear his voice. They knew his voice in the garden. About 2 years ago, I went to Bradford with a lot of the girls out of the church here. And I was going through the, you know, when you go through the customs, when you put your bags in and you're going through and you're getting checked. And the security were checking my bag and I was talking away to them. But in the distance, I could hear this voice behind me. And I knew the voice, but I couldn't put a face to the voice. And when I turned around, it was a girl that I had grown up with. And we had just went our separate ways through life. But the point I'm trying to make is her voice was distinctive. I grew up knowing this girl's voice. And I could pick this voice out in Dublin Airport where it's packed. And I could pick her voice out. You see, like Adam and Eve, they knew the voice of their creator. And why did they know? Because they bonded with him. There was a soul tie there with God. So for us, what we need to do is we need to soften our hearts. We need to soften our hearts with the truth, applying God's word, applying scripture. And this will make us more open to what God is trying to teach us through circumstances, through challenges that life throws at us, and helping us to go deeper and deeper into a relationship with him. You know, we can know scripture and we can know, you know, it's great knowing the Bible, and I'm not diminishing the Bible in any way. We can have head knowledge, but we have to have the heart knowledge, guys. We need the heart. My own earthly relationship with my own parents had its flaws. You know, we weren't like the Waltons. We didn't go around telling each other we loved each other. We loved each other from a distance. But, you know, when I desired a relationship with God, I experienced true intimacy with him. I began to hear him telling me he loved me. But again, there were times in my Christian walk I didn't feel that intimacy with him because of challenges in life and not recognizing that I was pushing God away. But I soon realized that no matter what, God is always intimate with us. He never fails us. And he never fails because he is love. That's what God is. He is love. Love oozes out of him. So although I might have failed through life, and I might still fail through life, God never will. God will never leave me nor forsake me. And his word declares that he is our strong tower, our refuge, and our hiding place. He is our security. Although most times we tend to find security in people, in money, whatever it is that might occupy us. Sometimes we think if we become intimate with God, we lose our security. Like we'd lose friends, we'd lose family, we lose our position. But in fact, the opposite happens. You see, God is so amazing. He meets us where we are at. He blesses areas of our lives that we never thought possible. Our security becomes secure when we know who we are in him. If I went out to the streets of Dublin, say if I went up to Thomas Street, and if I asked about 50 people, do you love God? I'd say most of them would probably say yes, of course I do. But you know, if we are really honest with ourselves, how often do we seek to put His will and His desires first and above our own desires? You see, knowing God is more than awareness. It's more than information, and it's more than religion. It's a relationship of closeness and bonding with Him. You see, people's love for God can seem to fluctuate depending on how they feel. You know, to love God, it's not an emotional feeling. To love God the way He desires us to love Him means to totally, totally give ourselves over to Him. And that means, and we spoke about it last night, about surrendering, and surrendering every part of our life. Literally losing oneself. And what I mean by that is, to lose oneself is our thoughts, our emotions, our desires go out the window. And that's what it means. It means changing mindsets. It means changing thought patterns. You see, we become cleansed so that God's life can shine through us. You know, there's a lot of times in my life where I'd have little moments. I'm 35, and I had to say, before I'm 40, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to see places in the world. And, you know, and I think there's people like that in this room today. They have these little moments where they want to have a better career, a better life, where they want to be a better father or a better mother. But, you know, life can be built, as I said, with many little moments. And to go deeper with God, the little moments are where we start. We have to put them into action. And we can start by simply saying, I love you, God. You know, and when you say that, I love you, God, it just begins to roll off your tongue. And over time, you will begin repeating this throughout your day, and your heart will begin to change. Guys, this is the first step to intimacy, taking place as you begin to speak and share your feelings with God. You see, all of those little moments add up to bigger moments with the Lord. Your attitude changes. You find yourself continually in a place of longing to be in His presence. You find that needing Him in a way that before you know it, your whole life will be consumed with thoughts of Him. And my own little moments in the early days of my Christian life began with sticking on a worship CD. And you know, that first song that came on about the potter's hand, you know, use me, fill me, mold me, shape me. Guys, I have to tell you, I went around my house dancing to that song. I can't sing, but I can throw a few shapes, you know. But you know what? That song would just do something to my heart. It would do something to my spirit. And I would just get so caught up in that song. And I loved it. And you know, I believe foundations were set. You know, and this led, for me, I know it led onto a deeper relationship with God. You see, I was laying down foundations and building concrete ground for my relationship with Him. And I did it by taking a step of faith. You see, I wanted to trust in this God. I would see people in church and I would look at them. And in the very early stages, as I said, they have it, she has it, oh, she hasn't got it. And this is the way, that's where I was at that time. But I wanted it. I said, Lord, I want what those people have. Give it to me, Lord. I just want it. I desire it, Lord. You see, the cracks that appeared in my life then, over time, became smoothed out. And they became smoothed out as I became secure in God. The Greek word agape, it's spelled A-G-A-P-E. It means unconditional love. And God desires us because He is love. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. He is aware of every detail of our lives. And that declares that in Scripture in Hebrews 4:13. He knows everything about us. In other words, regardless of who abandons us, betrays us, or hurts us, the Lord is ready, willing, and able to embrace us. You see, our need as people for intimacy and closeness is strong evidence of our need for our nearness to the presence of God. You will begin to learn and recognize your desire for God, which will make it much easier for you to feel confident to turn to Him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:7, verse 8, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." How many people come to mind that you know express God's love? I'd say if I was to ask each one of you, you'd have an answer. But Mother Teresa is one that sticks in my mind. Her passion to serve, her passion to love, and her demonstration of mercy to the saved and unsaved world. You know, even on our very own doorstep, Pastor Noel, his willingness to love, to fight for the lost, to fight for the lost and the liberties and the nations. His passion to love is birthed from knowing the mind of Christ and the mission in which he must fulfill as a disciple on this journey. And that's for all of us here today. The more we let ourselves bond with God's love, the more we will have freedom to believe and express ourselves. Like Adam and Eve, God has given us the ultimate gift to know Him deeper. You see, we will know Him deeper as He walks with us in the garden of our lives. You see, He will come in and begin to prune the areas that need to be cut off. And He will shape you the way He desires you to be shaped. And why? Because He wants a relationship with us. Just finishing up, I just want to read this fact. I just thought it was mind blown. And it's about a golf ball. Have you ever noticed the pockmarks or dimples covering the surface of a golf ball? They make the ball look imperfect. So what's their purpose? An aeronautical engineer who designs golf balls says that a perfectly smooth ball would travel only 130 yards off the tee. But the same ball with the right kind of dimples will fly twice that far. These apparent flaws minimize the ball's air resistance and allow it to travel much further. And the reason I picked that was because most of us in this room can quickly name the physical characteristic flaws we wish we hadn't been born with. I know I have some. You see, it's hard to imagine, but these imperfections are there for a purpose and are part of God's master design so that we will come into an intimate relationship with Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Jesus. Jesus. Guys, if this message has moved you or touched you in any way, to my right, we have a table set up. And this is the Lord's table. And there's two plates, there's two glasses of wine, and there's a candle burning. And basically, the table is there to represent God is here. And if you feel that you have lost your first love, or you want to go deeper with Him, or you want to know Him more, I invite you to come this morning. And we have candles there that you can light the candle. And it's just basically making a declaration to yourselves and God. Nobody else. It's just between you and God. And we're going to play a song in the background. We're going to play that intimacy song. And I just encourage you to come this morning. If you've been moved in any way, or you just want to know your first love again, or if you want to know him deeper, please come to the table. Please come. And we just want to represent you back then with a rose. And this rose is from the Garden of Eden. This is one of God's beauties that he made. And that's God saying to you that you are his child. You are the one that he desires, he longs for.